Sure. Well, we've found thousands of farm workers out in the fields of Ventura County without the protective masks that they need. We've been mobilizing folks in the community out to talk to them. But you know, workers are really faced with this horrific choice of either giving up the income they desperately need in a time like this, or be out in conditions that are endangering their health and safety.
We're going to leave it there, but we're going to do part two, posted at democracynow.org. Thank you so much, State Assemblymember Monique Limon and Lucas Zucker of Cause. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now! Check for the WebExes.
KBOO Community Radio and Chamber Music Northwest have been working together for over 40 years to bring diverse music to the community and to underserved populations, and we are working together in the Give Guide. There are opportunities for tickets to Christian Tetzloff's performance of Bach's solo violin works and other thank you gifts. More information is available at kboo.fm/cmnw2017.
Frosty the Snowman.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring ting tingling.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
All I want for Christmas is my tooth.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening?
For lo, unto you shall come
this Tuesday morning, December 12th,
at 3 a.m. on the Vinyl Pajama Party, a song that, in all likelihood, is the greatest Yuletide carol ever.
That's this Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. The December 18th meeting of the Board of Directors will be held at 6 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/board-directors.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. Open daily December 16th through December 24th for the Festival of the Last Minute. Saturday Market offers handmade arts, crafts, and other gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest and is located at 2 Southwest Ankeny in front of at Waterfront Park. Information at PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
KBOO Portland.
More talk radio here on KBOO. I am Cecil Prescott, and today is December 11th, 2017. KBOO is broadcast via the World Wide Web on KBOO.fm. If you're in Portland, it's 97.7. If you are east of Portland, it's 91.9, and as you head down south, it's 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we are grateful for your presence here and taking time to start your week by joining us in Common Reflection. I want to give you a phone number for you to join us in conversation a little bit later on, or as the spirit moves you. Our phone number here in the studios are 503-231-8187. Yesterday was December 10th. It's celebrated annually as Human Rights Day. That date, in 1948, the United Nations General Assembly adopted and made a proclamation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It was the first world enunciation of human rights and one of the first achievements of the new United Nations. And so this will launch the beginning of the 70th year of the Human Rights Declaration for human rights. It's interesting to reflect on that as a community, as a world, and see how far we need to continue on to achieve those rights as make sure that they are a certainty for all people. Eleanor Roosevelt, who was the an ambassador to the United Nations, said, "Where, after all, do universal human rights begin?" She writes, "In small places, close to home, so close and so small that they cannot be seen on any maps of the world. Unless these rights have meaning there, they have little meaning anywhere. Without concerted citizens' action to uphold them close to home, we shall look in vain for progress in the larger world." Eleanor Roosevelt was an American citizen and the wife of the president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That declaration, those words she just wrote, reminds us of the need to practice human rights in our communities. And so I think it's interesting to reflect where we are as a nation and how far we have to go to assert and affirm the human rights of all peoples. In a nation where the national administration has declared its decision not to welcome people from different parts of the world, immigrants and refugees, in an administration which continues to have economic and social policy which negatively impact people who are poor, the struggle for human rights remains one. Recently, we have heard women voices declaring how they have been attacked, abused by men. Tawana Burke began such a movement a few years ago. It has since picked up steam as more and more women have used their voices to declare that they have been victims of a rape culture. What are the roles for men, cis men in particular, in this movement? I want to begin this day by reading a reflection that I thought, a couple of reflections that I thought might be helpful to center our conversation today. My first reflection is by, I'm trying to find the name of the author, Leah Rose Emery. She wrote on a blog these words: "If you've seen the Me Too posts, where victims of sexual harassment and assault to post Me Too, allowing the online community to get a sense of just go how widespread this type of behavior is, you already know that response has been deafening. Since the hashtag MeToo took off, 12 million women have participated, showing that sexual assault and harassment is everywhere. And the truth is becoming clear. Far too many women you know have been victims of some kind of unwanted sexual advance or assault, even if they've never mentioned it to you. Sharing hashtag MeToo is about more than just awareness. It's about catharsis. their safety in number and the sheer force of this wave has created an environment where some women will be comfortable coming forward, even if they haven't before. It's about them. It's about women getting a chance to speak and the world actually listening. What it's not about, though, is men completely co-opting this space. We need male allies, of course. We need men to see more, to say more, to do more. But there are different ways to do that. I'm not saying that men should be silent as women share their sexual harassment and assault women's experiences. But they should be listening before they speak. And if they speak out about the issue, they better be damn sure it's constructive. She continues to observe and write about men's response to the Me Too movement and cautions again men attempting to usurp the movement or take all the space for speech. With that noted, I want to read a reflection from a cis male on the Me Too movement as he reflected on where we are as a nation, as a species. Steve Kimes wrote in his blog, titled Thoughts from a Cis Male on Me Too. He writes, the women's movement have shown that they know how to use social media, and the latest indication of this is the Me Too reaction to the many sexual assaults of Harvey Weinstein. The producer and mogul of Miramax Films has been called out of his multiple sexual assaults over decades. More and more women declare that they were also victims of his attempted or successful assaults on social media then. And more women declare Me Too, publicly acknowledging that they were victims of sexual assaults. He writes, I see some men standing up saying I'm guilty for leering or participating in porn, which is kind of right, but I don't know if they got the point. Other men are saying Me Too, acknowledging that they have also been sexually assaulted, and that is good, but I would like to see a separate time focus on their abuses. Other men are given the equivalent of you really wanted it, which I find disgusting and encouraging the evil we live in. So Mr. Kimes writes, these are some of my thoughts. He writes, I need to recognize that we live in a rape culture and I participate in it. It amazes me how many people perpetuate the myth of rape, assuming that someone is lying about sexual assault without evidence, claiming that women deserved it, thinking that the way a woman is dressed has anything to do with whether they deserve to be assaulted. He writes, and I have participated in that rape culture. I've paid for movies that perpetuate the myth that if a woman says no, she doesn't really mean it. I have ignored men who openly and lightly objectify women. I have in the past approved of churches who insist that forgiveness means a wife must accept back a husband that abuses her and that submission is a one-way street. And I have ignored and supported the oceans of objectification and reductionism that women swims in. He continues his blog in The Radical Reformer, and that blog was written October 17th, 2017. I'll continue on more with the writings of these two individuals, but I also want to invite your participation and your thoughts on the moment we are in today. If you've listened to the news earlier and are anywhere woke, you know that in the national media, it has occurred that more and more women are speaking up, and that men of power and influence, not only in movies and music, but in politics and in business and in church, and I dare say in radio station, must rise and listen to women's voices. So a couple of questions. One to other cis men, what are some of your reflections? Are you listening to women? And what should be your response? And to others, I also invite your thoughts, particularly in talking about the culture we live in and where we are as a nation. Should the president resign? Should the Senate candidate in Alabama step back? What is the proper way to address and transform patriarchy in our society? Give us a call and share your thoughts. We'll listen and we'll participate in the conversation. 503-231-8187. I'm even going to give you the chance, if you don't want to speak, to write. You may email us here at moretalkradio@gmail.com, and we will read your reflections. So what do you think of this moment we are in our history, and what is it ought to be the response of all, particularly cis male, and how might we destroy, disrupt the rape culture we are living in? You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Give us a call. You may also email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. Let's continue with the reflections of the two authors. I would like to continue by going back to the first blog that I read from, as soon as I get to it. And in it, she's writing, reflecting upon how men, in particular cis men, have responded or ought to respond to this movement. The author is Leah Rose Embry. She continues her reflections. Can be found on bustle.com, BUSTLE.com. She writes, too many men on Twitter are pointing out that fact that men are also abused. And then she continues. And then comes the battle cry of not all men. Some men rush in immediately to remind us that not all men are rapists and harassers. And of course they aren't. But that doesn't change the fact that toxic masculinity exists, that rape culture exists, that we live in a world where sexual harassment and abuse of women at the hands of men have been normalized. It doesn't matter that not all of them do. It matters that many of them do. Why isn't that enough? Why do the hashtag not all men supporters feel that every single man would have to be a rapist for there to be criticism? Women are being harassed and assaulted, but that's not enough. What kind of rock bottom do they require? Instead of rushing to point out that they don't harass women and expect praises, likes, and retweets for, I don't know, not being someone that assaults women, why not focus their efforts on listening to women and helping to educate men? Because this isn't about them. This is about an endemic problem in not only Hollywood, but in our country and in the world as a whole. If a man saw someone being sexually assaulted, should they just point at all of the men outside not abusing others? So what the hell are the hashtag not all men guys doing now? Those are some of the words from Leah Rose Emery about men's response to this rape culture we are living in. When I became aware, and this is Cecil Prescott speaking, of the movement on the internet, hashtag Me Too, my response may have been similar to other cis males' response by affirming that I'm not aware of ever sexually assaulting, harassing, or assaulting a woman. But that's not the point. I live and I benefit as a cis male from our culture. And I, and those of us who are cis males, have a responsibility to hear the voices and cries of women, to follow their lead, and to find ways in which we can use our power to dismantle this patriarchy and this culture. What are your thoughts? 503-231-8187. That will be your opportunity to talk about the hashtag MeToo movement, about people in your lives, either close to you, personal, or in people you know from work or schools or other environment. Have the movement started many years ago, but by Tarana Burke, touch you in ways. Particularly, I want to hear some reflection from cis males. What have you learned in this moment? What are you doing to participate in the dismantling of patriarchy? 503-231-8187. And you may email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. So what are some of men's responses? Let me return to the reflection from the so-called radical reformer who wrote about some of his reflections. The author, again, for this is Steve Kimes, and he writes in his blog, stevesbasic.blogspot.com. So Mr. Kimes first wrote, one, need to recognize that we live in a rape culture and that I participate in it. That's something we need to do. He continues his second point. As men, we need to realize what the problems really are. First, it is the limiting of women to objects of our own enjoyment or pleasure. Of course, when our only relation to a human being is as an entertainer, then we can judge their performance as to whether they have given us something. But women in generally are often treated as a male gaze display. Thus do men catcall and tell women to smile or advise them to dress better or to wear makeup. These are not all indication of a context in which men see all women as on a stage for their own benefit, instead of equal human beings who are allowed to look at as they wish, according to their own desires and goals. Second, men consider their sexual satisfaction as something they deserve, and not to obtain that satisfaction is to suffer something unacceptable. Steve writes, look guys, if you aren't getting the sex you want, you have another option, jerk off. It may not be the first option, but it's better than driving oneself crazy, failing to obtain the specific kind of satisfaction you choose. Women, whether individual or in general, have no responsibility to make sure every man is satisfied. He writes, continues on his reflection, and I should preface this by stating that Steve Kimes is a pastor to the homeless, of a pastor of the homeless and mentally ill. He a part-time theologian, but also someone who reflects on what are the roles that men have and the objectification of women by men. We have all been horrified by the remarks of the president that was captured on an audio tape of him boosting of sexual assaults on women. And I wonder how those words and images impact those who have been victims of sexual assault coming from the highest office in the nation. And as he continues to affirm and support a child sexual predator for Senate from Alabama, what a crazy world we are living in, a wild world. And what are our responsibilities? What can we do to participate in the transforming of the world to make it better? I noted that yesterday was the anniversary of the adoption and proclamation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That declaration states, affirms how all people should be treated and how all people should be empowered to live lives which prevents violence and sustain peace, where humanity's values are not abandoned but affirmed, and the need to stand up for not only our rights but for those of others. Not only should we read these blogs that I noted beforehand, but it might be helpful for you to take the time to look over the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and see how we are affirming these inalienable rights, which everyone is inherently entitled to as a human being, regardless of race, color, religion, gender identity, language, politics, national origin, sexual orientation. We are all endowed with certain rights that are not conditional, that are for all people at all times. And particularly for those of us in the United States, we are living in a moment where there are several things that have focused our attention. One, with a national administration which seemed to abandon the universal call and declaration and affirmation of human rights in the person of the President of the United States, who, by his own word, have assaulted women. And how are we, residents of this country, are responding to at least one call in affirming the human rights of all people regardless of gender? What are cis men's responsibility? Do we sit back quietly and listen? Do we continue on our patterns of living which support a patriarchy? Or are we a part of a system of overcoming? What are certain specific acts can we participate in that, one, educate us, two, called out abuse when we see it, strengthen us to do that, and three, listen to women voices and follow their example, and also to be able to, and I think we all can do this in certain way, cis men, how do we give up our power? How do we give up our power? That is a challenge for us because we've always had it. It's always been this way. And quite frankly, it's very comfortable. It's a challenge to see ways in which we can move beyond those things that we take for granted, and rather look for ways in which we can give up power and affirm the power of women. So why don't you give us a call? I know you are thinking deeply about these issues, and give us your thoughts. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we will engage you in a conversation and listen to your thoughts. But let me remind you that you are listening to KBOO on this, your community radio station. And at 9 is the Old Mole Variety Hour. Welcome. That show welcomes the Economic Policy Institute as they talk about the Republican tax plan, an attempt to understand what leads people to Trumpism, and an investigative reporter from the ACLU of Texas from her article, They've Taken Everybody. At 10 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein talks with Willamette Riverkeeper's Travis Williams about what the EPA's latest delay tactics means for the health of the Willamette. At 11, it's Health Watch, Nature's Remedies for Menopause Symptoms from Dana Lavoie. And at 11:30, Radio Zine presents Making Contact and the Ghosts of the Korean Wars. KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. And thank all of you who are members, and thank all of you who are becoming members. I am Cecil Prescott, and you are listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO. And again, our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. Our email address is moretalkradio@gmail.com, and we have the opportunity to hear your thoughts. We're talking particularly this morning about the movement that has taken a center stage in many of our minds and our lives, the hashtag MeToo movement. And I'm wondering, what are cis men thinking, and what are our responsibility at this moment in time? What can we do to participate in this movement for radical reformation, or better, transformation of our society? I've read parts from a couple of blogs, and I would like, with your permission, to continue. Leah Rose Emery, who writes an article, "The Problem with Men Responding, Not All Men, to the Me Too Campaign." She continues in her article criticizing the so-called battle cry, "Not All Men," and the rush for individual men to declare that they are not rapists or harassers, and that it isn't me. And she offers some insightful thoughts of what men should need to do. She writes, "They should be doing standing up because they're a decent human being, not because they have a sister, a daughter, a mother, or any type of female relative. They should be doing it because they see women as humans. You shouldn't need a black friend or relative to know that racism is bad. Men shouldn't need a woman who shares their DNA to know that women are people. And it should, and if it took that to help them wake up, then they need to do something, some real soul searching, because they point out that not all men are predators. And frequently, if you have looked at your Twitter account, she's referring to men. And I think for many who are being honest for where they are, they begin by affirming either they are a father or in love with a wonderful female partner. They have siblings who are females. They have aunts and grandmothers. And that because of that, they want to transform this rape culture we have. I think what the writer of this post is saying is that it's more than that, and that we who are cis men need to examine ourselves. If the only way we are able to affirm women as human is by first reflecting that we are in relationship to a woman, and because of that, because we are a father or have a great mother, that I want to participate in this movement to dismantle patriarchy, that may be a problem. Maybe we are not seeing women as humans. So she writes, and if men really want to show that hashtag not all men are the problem, then why not do something about it? Work to end street harassment, making sure workplaces have an anonymous way of reporting harassment, and ask women how to help. Don't just point out every man around you who isn't harassing someone. Do something to change the problem, rather than just detracting from victims brave enough to speak up. So what do? We listen to the voices of women and ask how to help. So I'm asking this morning not only cis men to call and participate in our conversation, but also women to call and share. What is it that men can do to help? How do we break down our privilege? And how do we hear the voice? And how do we not remain silent? Silence is complicity. Leah Rose Emery ends her reflection with these words. She writes, "The Me Too movement has been powerful because it shows the sheer extent of sexual harassment and abuse. And we need men to participate, to engage, to wake up, and to show up. And if guys have something constructive to add or want to put their newfound awareness to productive work, they should go for it. But if this is about PR on behalf of men, they should kindly save it for another time. We have work to do." So, other cis men, are we listening? Are we hearing the voices? Are we complicit with our silence? Have we moved beyond the it's not me, to one of solidarity. And then are we willing to lose our power? It's difficult. It's challenging. And we need to hear those voices and listen. You are listening on the one hand to KBOO FM. This is More Talk Radio on your community radio station. 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis in Albany. And I am Cecil Prescott. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We began our reflections and conversation this morning by talking about the hashtag MeToo movement, a movement that started many years ago by Tawana Burke. And has since has taken a life of its own. My question for you today, and it's an honest question, is what is it that I as a cis male may do? How do I give up my privilege? And what is it that women are urging or calling me to do? What are areas of my power that I can use? One thing that came up from Leah Rose Emery article is the street harassment that women face oftentimes. And am I too silent most of the time? Do I interrupt conversation from my colleagues and friends that are disturbing or harmful? And are we able to follow the lead of women? And how are we raising young boys and adolescents? What are the images and messages we are sharing with them? I'm frightened by the image we're getting from the national leadership, but I'm also aware that those are images and messages that we are sharing as the Harvey Weinstein incidents have raised awareness, not only through mass media and movies and entertainment, but in also different realms and areas. There's certainly sports, team sports, professional sports. In the midst of a professional football season, and what are those images are we saying? How do we encourage, support violence? And are there things that we should examine in transforming our world? It may be difficult for us to ponder and difficult for us to share, but nevertheless, things in which I think we should examine. Steve Kimes has also written about what it is that we should do, and he's from the Portland community. Perhaps we will reach out to Steve and see if he is able at some point to participate in our conversation. But he writes in his thoughts from a cis male's on Me Too movement, what it is that he thinks that we can do. He writes, A number of people, almost all cis males, claim that women are as aggressive sexually as men. That is certainly true, and it isn't good, but it means something different. He observes 99% of all sexual assault happens by men. Women know this, even if men don't. Women protect themselves from the inevitable assault by some man, and they don't know which one. Most threats are from men, are small, the offhand comment, the lingering leer. These mosquito bites mean nothing, unless you are in an area in which a quarter of those mosquitoes have malaria. Then you get scared because some of these mosquitoes are really harmful to you. This is the life that women have in a rape culture. Up to 25% of men have sexually assaulted someone. Less than 1% of women have. Frankly, women have something to be scared about. Men might get unwelcome sexual attentions, he writes, but don't live in a context of sexual assaults. And sexual assaults usually happens by friends or family, people women trust. This makes the whole situation even more frightening because the ones who are closest to women are more likely to be the ones to harm them. The issue is less a single event, but the constant fear that it could happen any moment by a trusting person. Most cis men don't have to worry about that. By the way, he writes, 45% of all gay or bi men also experience sexual assaults, 99% of which are caused by men. He concludes his blog by writing these words. And blogs are interesting because there are comment sections in which people, for some reason, generally, feel the ability and freedom to say such horrendous things, perhaps truly revealing who they are. But Steve Kimes writes, I just had a man post under the last section, "You are so brainwashed." And Steve writes, if he means that I have looked at the facts and listened to women to come to a reasonable assumption, and he calls that brainwashing, then yes, I am. But if he means that I have dismissed out of hand the assumption that the world has stuffed down our throats about the sexual needs of men, the lesser status that women have been handed, the disrespect that women have suffered for millennia, and the excuses men have given in order to act immorally, well, I guess I have done that too. No apologies. And perhaps on those last two words that Steve Kimes wrote in this blog should be words that allow us, cis men, cis males, to be a mantra. Perhaps we should say no apologies if we stand up with women and allow ourselves to hear their stories and believe their words. No apologies. I offer no apologies for believing women. I offer no apologies for resisting the patriarchy that was hammered into my souls, into my cultures forever. No apologies for resisting those things. No apologies for allowing women to claim their own bodies. No apologies. No apologies. No apologies. No apologies. I think I'm learning more and more each day to allow women to continue to teach me. Perhaps it's been unusual that in most of my working life, my supervisors have been women. Now, perhaps that has formed my soul in such a way that I might have a different outlook than men who have worked in environments that have been mostly male, or the hierarchy has been mostly male. Nevertheless, I and men, cis males generally, we have a lot to learn and a lot to hear. So we should not only follow their lead, but be able to interrupt those sources and streams of harassment, of intimidation, of assault that too many women face. So when we see the hashtag MeToo, our response should not be not all men. When we hear and listen to women who are brave enough to share their stories, my response is to listen and not interrupt. When we are in situations that we might feel uncomfortable, imagine what it's like for those who are the victims of those words, of those actions, of those deeds. And find the fortitude within ourselves to stand alongside those people who are being harassed, assaulted verbally or physically. And we need to say, not all men, but rather what it is am I or we called to do. I thought we might end our conversation this morning by reflecting together not only on that particular point of human rights, but reflecting on the Human Rights Declaration for all people. First declared and adopted in 1948, we are now entering its 70th year of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. We need to affirm those human rights for all people at all times. We need to read it, reflect on it, and say, what is it? What is it that we are called to do? What is it that we are called to stand up for? Now, I don't suppose too many know the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by heart. And that's okay. We know it really in our souls. But let me just read some of the articles for your reflections. The first article: all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. Every word, Article 2, is entitled to the rights of freedom and set forth in this declaration without distinction of any kind, such as race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth or status. Furthermore, it declares no distinction should be made on the basis of the political, jurisdictional, or international status of the country or territory to which a person belongs, whether it be independent, trust, non-self-governing, or under any other limitation of sovereignty. No one shall be held in slavery or servitude. Slavery and slave trade shall be prohibited in all these forms. Everyone has the right to recognition everywhere as a person before the law. No one shall be subjected to arbitrary arrest, detention, or exile. Everyone is entitled in full equality to a fair and public hearing by an independent and impartial tribunal in the determination of their rights and obligation of any criminal charges against them. Everyone has the right to freedom of movement and residence within the borders of each state. Everyone has the right to leave any country, including their own, and to return to their own country. Men and women of full age, without limitation due to race, nationality, or religion, have the right to marry and to found a family. They are entitled to equal rights as to marriage, during marriage, and at its dissolutions. Everyone has the right of freedom of opinion and expression. That right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media, regardless of frontier. Everyone has the right to work, to free choice of employment, to just and favorable conditions of work and protection against unemployment. Everyone has the right to rest and leisure, including reasonable limitation of working hours and periodical holidays with pay. Everyone has the right to education. Everyone has the right to freely participate in the cultural life of a community and to enjoy the arts. Everyone has the right to the protection of the moral and material interests resulting from any scientific, literary, or artistic production of which they are the author. Everyone have these rights. On this, the start of the 70th year of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I invite you to not only read those declarations but seek to live them. I urge on this day for all of us to hear the hashtag MeToo movement, to honor and stand and struggle for the dismantling of patriarchy in our societies. And I urge those who are also cis males to listen to the voices of the cries of women. You have been listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. This is your community station, KBOO. Stay tuned for the Old Mole Variety Hour. Try to have a good day. Goodbye.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO provides free training in all aspects of operating a radio station. We're looking for people to join our community of volunteers by evaluating our on-air programs. We have an evaluation training on Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. at KBOO Studios, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. This class teaches about the evaluation form and minute-per-minute form, music versus PA versus news program evaluation, and about objectivity and opinions relating to KBOO's mission, vision, programming charter. If you're interested, please RSVP by email to del@kboo.org. Again, that's Evaluating KBOO Programming, training class taking place Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. here at your favorite community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Portland.